Well, once again, good morning to all that is on the call and all that will be listening in. Praise be to God. Glory to his name.
Amen.
This morning, as we before we started, before the everyone is on the phone call, we were listening to a gospel station, and it was pouring out God's Spirit. Rain on us was the first song that came on. Rain on us, Holy Spirit. Rain on us. And then the other one was the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing. The anointing, please fall on us. And I heard someone says that they wish that we had songs that we could hear before we start so that it kind of ushers us into the humbleness of our own minds and hearts, that we could really have a basis for the Spirit to just have its way. Because often we are coming in from doing whatever we've been doing this in the morning or afternoon or evening, and we have so much stuff. But we're going to go to the Lord today and just surrender our hearts, our wills, our thoughts to our Master in the name of Jesus. So, Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for this day in the name of Jesus. For you didn't have to give it to us, Father. It's by your grace, your mercy, and your love that you granted all that is on this call and all that would listen to this call favor that we're on this side of heaven alive. So, Father, we thank you with all of our hearts. We praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your mercy. We praise you for being just who you are.
Yes, Lord.
Father, you love us so much that words cannot express. For we know that you sacrificed your only son, Jesus, who was with you before time began, so that we could be with you in paradise. So, Father, we thank you for calling us, each and every one of us, by name and giving us this passage through Jesus to come to you and to be with you forever. Lord, we bless you today. We praise you. We glorify your name. And we ask that your will be done in everything that will be said, read, or spoke about, Lord, in any way whatsoever, that it brings you all the glory and all the honor, all you deserve and so much more. So, Jesus, have your way. Holy Spirit, come on in. Come on in, Holy Spirit. Rain on us. Pour out your Spirit on each and every one that is on this call. Meet the needs that all of us have, Father, so that, Lord, we will have a hunger and a thirst for you. Lord, take over every aspect of this service. Take over, Lord, the preach word, the spoken word by Jeanette and by Alexandra and whomever else will be reading, Lord. Take over, Lord God. Lord, give us ears to truly hear. Bind up any distraction. Bind up any chaos that may try to come into the homes of those that are listening and those that are participating and those that have wanted deliverance, Lord. Bind up those spirits, Lord God, so that they will clearly hear and receive what you have for each and every one of us today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. What a glorious opportunity, Lord, knowing that we are yielding our hearts and will to the King of Kings. And we're asking, Lord, that your will be done in everything today. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're still in the book of Samuel, 2 Samuel. And somebody tell me what they remember from last week. What happened last week? Good morning.
I wasn't on the call.
Well, it seems there were several things that did happen last week. One thing that David sent one of his men over to Absalom so that he could be more of a spy for him. Maybe that's not the right word, but it was being a spy in his camp so that it could be a voice for David. But Absalom also had a priest that was known for speaking the word of God in his camp. And so it brought not really chaos, but really just a second way of thinking for Absalom. And then, of course, the prophet, I think it was I don't know how you pronounce that name, Abithahil. He was the one that was, yeah, that one. He was the one that was supposed bring forth the words so well, and because God would speak through him. But then Absalom began to listen to the one that David sent over to him as well. So it kind of brought a little a time for David to be able to move and go where he needed to go and get out of the way of Absalom. And that was part, I guess, that was part of the plan of God to make that happen that way for David.
Okay. So we're going to move on to where I just want to point out a couple of things. I want to point out that Hushai, who ended up bringing David the word, Hushai was the priest who was planted, as Richard said, as a spy, and it was his two sons that had to carry the word to David. Hushai wanted to go with David, but David decided you would be better help to me if you could confuse the advice of Ahithophel. His vice was as if it were coming from God. His wisdom in battle was so great.
Mm-hmm.
So again, we're going to go forward. And so David gets a little bit of time, as Richard said. And the little bit of time was a couple of weeks. As you're reading this, it seems like the next thing that happens. And that's the way this writer wrote. But at the end of the day, he ended up buying time by his advice. His advice was that Absalom would gather all the people of Israel. You know, and when we say all the people, we don't mean all the people. We mean the men predominantly of fighting age of Israel all the way down to Dan, which was at the southern tip. And then he appealed to Absalom's ego and said, you know, you should come riding through here, not like Ahithophel, who would be killing David for you, and then that wouldn't be the same, Absalom, as if you were in the midst of them, riding on your mule, which, remember, we talked about the mule being a royal thing, and I'm sure Absalom, you know, was probably most likely on his dad's mule, showing that he is now the king. A very decorated animal. So here we are, and we're going to start at the beginning of 18. Would you please read?
David mustered the men who were with him and appointed over the commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. David sent out his troops, a third under the command of Joab, a third under Joab's brother Abishai, and son of Zerahi, and a third under Ittai the Gittite. The king told the troops, "I myself will surely march out with you." But the men
here. Remember that Ittai the Gittite wanted to go with David, and David told him no. And I don't know if I mentioned who he is. He's an Egyptian, well, not Egyptian, but he's an Ethiopian slave. And he very well had been the slave of Joab. So he's from another nation. He's not an Israelite, but he's willing to fight with you. In our walk, we often don't want to include anybody who is not there yet. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
When I say somebody who is not there yet, I mean in our pathetic point of view and limited foresight, we think they're not Christian enough to walk with us. They're not Christian enough to participate in what we're doing. Well, they say that they're a believer, but not really sure we're going to let them be in our club. Get the picture?
Yep.
And a lot of us will say we don't do that, but we actually do. This is an Egyptian, I keep saying Egyptian, he is a Ethiopian slave, and he wanted to walk with David, but David said, go back to your people or whatever, you're basically a fugitive because he's and, you know, you're in this camp, but you're not really an Israelite, so just go with your people. This probably isn't going to end well. But he said, no, I'm going to go with you all the way to wherever you go. Sometimes, and I'm going to say this, sometimes the people that come up alongside of you are sent by God. And I want us to never miss our blessing because we stand in judgment of what they have or haven't gotten over yet. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Absolutely.
Amen.
I want to point something out because I think it's necessary. Sometimes our sin is on our shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody can see it.
Mm-hmm.
But as you meet other people, their sins are hidden. So somebody is struggling with, say, something obvious, and then somebody else is struggling with gossip. Is the person struggling with smoking any less dangerous than the person struggling with gossip?
No.
No.
Frankly, I think the gossip is more dangerous.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. So as we're looking at and trying to identify everybody else's problems, sometimes we may be eliminating what God has sent to help you.
Amen. Amen.
And a lot of us, because we're in such a I've arrived state, we don't even recognize we need the help.
Mm-hmm.
We're too busy picking and choosing, deciding who's worthy to walk down the street with you. Well, I think they're a Christian, but not really, because I don't know. I don't. Can a Christian still be smoking?
Oh, God. You should laugh, but that's so true. So true.
Well, David accepts who God has sent. And
Amen.
This guy's a mighty warrior. How do I know that? Because David put him over one-third of the army.
Yes.
We got these two brothers that are left. Remember, one of them was, you know, killed because he was relentless. And we have Joab and Abishai, and they are relentless warriors, nothing to be played with.
Mm-hmm.
But he names the Gittite with him and divides this army into three. Let's not miss our blessing by judging other people's where they are when you don't know where they are.
Amen.
And they may be further down the road than, you know, those who think that they're there. Okay.
Jeanette?
Yes?
Judging the same as, is? Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes.
Is judging the same as assessing how this person will fit into my life, inner or outer circle, ministry or friend?
I think that, first of all, a lot of times when somebody comes into your life, the first thing to assess is, how can I help them?
Amen. Amen.
Not so much what can they do for me, but how can I help them? And whether or not they become in your inner circle or a little bit extended circle, see what God is doing with that person.
Yes.
See what God is leading you to do with that person. If anybody really put a flashlight over my life, you would be stunned at the people I've welcomed into my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Stunned. People that other people took one look at and were terrified of.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a child of God, start thinking, we're praying every morning, Lord, guide us and please show us the way. Please use us in a special way. Please pour your anointing into us, Lord, blah, blah, blah. So then expect that he is.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And now begin to see yourself as anointed.
Yes.
Begin to see yourself as carrying the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So if it is Him walking and operating through you, through the Holy Spirit, then when someone comes your way, I wouldn't even suggest daring to categorize them.
Yes.
Which brings me to personal conviction. The Lord's been speaking to me about something, and I'm going to share it in part. I had a dream. In the dream, a kid was following me that really needed my attention, but I was too busy going where I was going. And then finally the kid said, "Please, I need to know about Jesus." And I stopped and I just took a breath. "Okay, what do you need to know? Do you believe it all? Do you believe?" And then I asked him, "Did he have a relationship?" And then we talked about, and okay. I didn't give that dream much thought. So 2 days later, I had a dream again. In this second dream, it was a woman. And because of the way she looked, and I'm going to leave it at that, I just didn't really have the time of day for her, but she was asking, could she please follow and tag along? She needs to know Jesus. Yesterday, in the last 2-3 days, I've been saturated in some books I've been reading. And I now know exactly what that meant. Respect your persons.
Yes.
Respect your persons. You don't know who's coming your way or who God is sending your way. And we should have the same heart for all people.
Amen.
Yes.
And frankly, the ones that we really don't want in our inner circle are probably the ones that need to be under your arm.
Yes.
That's the one that needs to be held closer and tighter, that the love of God can begin to work in their lives. And it's not usually, you know, a coincidence that they came your way.
Yes, amen.
I think something that we need to learn as children of God is how to love.
Mm-hmm.
How to love. Now, Terry, in assessment, yes, use discernment, pay attention. Pay attention. I use this all the time because I won't say that either. That's not, anyway, I use this all the time. If you know a person's a kleptomaniac, do you throw them out of your life or do you put your things away when they come to visit?
Right, put your things away.
Put your things away. They need deliverance too. But kind of put your stuff away. Don't forget what you've learned about the person. Okay. And when you start identifying, well, this person isn't necessarily very honest, or maybe this person's got a spirit of deception, now you know how to pray.
Yes.
Now you know how to pray for them. Go after it. Mm-hmm. Don't throw the person out. Go after it.
Amen.
Oh.
Me, I'm likely to take a deep breath and say that I do not need that kind of garbage in my life. But if God sends somebody, and you are convinced that He has sent them, and here's something I do that I think all of us can grow from and do. If you are not sure that God has sent the person in your life, ask the Lord to remove Amen. Them if He hasn't.
Yeah. Amen.
If this is an attack of the enemy and someone trying to slip in that's really a wolf in sheep's clothing, Lord, if this is not of you, block it. We have got to start walking in faith and trusting that God will do what you ask Him to do.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay.
That was so good. That was awesome. Thank you for that response. It's beautiful. Verse 3. But the men said, "You must not go out. If we are forced to flee, they won't care about us. Even if half of us die, they won't care. But you are worth 10,000 of us. It would be better now for you to give us support from the city." The king
Amen.
Answered.
Oh, keep going. That's important.
No, that was great. The king answered, I will do whatever seems best to you. So the king stood beside the gate while all his men marched out in units of hundreds and of thousands. The king commanded Joab, Abishab, and Ittai, be gentle with the young man Absalom for my sake. And all the troops heard the king giving orders concerning Absalom to each of the commanders.
Okay, let's stop there. There's a couple of things going on there that I don't want to miss. He's the king. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And he wants to go out, and you know, this is a warrior man. This is no joke. This is David.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is he such a warrior and has had so many victories, but he's the anointed one of God. Ooh. He's the one ahead of all of this. Those of you on the call that God is preparing to be leaders, please do not get so far ahead that you can't listen to advice.
Amen.
Amen.
It's very easy when the Lord begins to call you in, he begins to elevate you in office, or he begins to anoint you with a ministry, or he begins to, you know, develop your purpose. It's very easy to think, well, actually, I don't really need to hear any advice at this time. I'm king. I'm going to ride out with the people.
Mm.
I bring the people courage because everyone knows of all of my victories. But the people said to him, stay back. Sometimes people around you can see what you can't.
Amen. Amen.
David intended to go ride. I'll ride out there with you. I always do. When it's something this serious, I'm on that battlefield with my troops.
Yes.
But the people could see what he couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
The people said, no, you're worth 10,000 of us.
Wow. Wow.
They're not going to be looking for us. They're looking for you, dude. Please, just stay back. Let us handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of David's ego getting in the way, well, you know, y'all ain't that great without me.
Mm-hmm.
David listened and said to the people, he humbled himself before the people and said, whatever you people think best.
Yes.
Sometimes as a leader, well, people get confused to their role. And they think their role is to constantly be the one telling everybody everything all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can miss a step. And if your pride and your ego has become so puffed up, you can put yourself in a situation not so good. Had he not listened to the people and something happened to him, that would be the fall of Israel.
Yeah.
But he humbled himself. He listened. He said, whatever you all think best. Yeah, it was time for battle, but it was not time for David to go into battle with his own people and insist that I've got to ride. Not today, you know. They're looking for you. Not today. Sit at the gate. Okay. And then, as David takes that counsel, he tells them, I want you to pay attention to these words. Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. What do we hear there, please, people? What do we hear when he says, he says, deal gently also with the young man Absalom. What's going on there?
He's protecting him.
I would say the father's heart.
Interceding.
Mm-hmm.
You're hearing the father's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Parents, those of you who are parents on this call, Absalom's not that young. If he's old enough to put together this kind of deceptive rebellion against his own dad, how young do you think he is? But as a parent, we will always see our children as young, won't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
That's a problem. Because if you can't see a person for who they really are, you're even that much more vulnerable. But sometimes our love blinds us.
Yes.
Deal gently with somebody who has just ran you out your kingdom and you're a king? What do you mean deal gently? So what did you plan on doing with him, David?
Right.
So we bring Absalom in. Your daddy really wants to see you, and we're bringing you to your dad right now. This guy just slept with his wives on top of the roof.
Yes.
Okay. I'm saying, people, when you have love in your heart, don't let it blind you and begin to, you know, downplay what you see. You can still love a person, but not be in denial for who they've become.
Ooh, wait, that was beautiful right there, right there. May God be the glory. Grace and truth in those words. Yes, grace and truth you spoke there. Do not be in denial.
That if we really were to admit who this person is, that we would love, then we're not loving them, but it's not true. You can love somebody, just don't deny who they are.
Praise be to God.
God is never asking us to put on blinders.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Ooh, you. Holy Spirit is working today. Verse 6, David's army marched out of the city to fight Israel, and the battle took place in the fords of Ephraim. There, Israel's troops were routed by David's men, and the casualties that day were great, 20,000 men. The battle spread out over the whole countryside, and the forest swallowed up more men that day than the sword.
Now, what are we talking about? Hold on a second. What was going on? What do you mean the forest swallowed up more people than the sword? This was a very, very dense forest. Remember something. David's men had been all over that terrain, fighting and doing all kinds of things for the years that he was in exile. They know the terrain. They know it by the back of their hand.
Mm-hmm.
But the denseness of the forest caused certain things. One, it was thick and there are marshes. Marshes, muddy spots that will cause your horse to fall.
Mm-hmm.
That can go unnoticed until it's too late.
Yeah, like quicksand, huh?
Like quicksand, or just even just marsh. In other words, the ground looks like it's even, but it's not.
Yeah.
They had cliffs where you could be riding through this forest and there's in front of you, before you can see, a drop-off.
Mm.
This is not a pretty place to be in battle because it's very dangerous. Okay. And so the forest takes more than even the slaughter.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Now Absalom happened to meet David's men. He was riding his mule, and as the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, Absalom's hair got caught in the tree. He was left hanging in midair while the mule he was riding kept on going. When one of the men saw what had happened, he told Joab, "I just saw Absalom hanging in an oak tree." Joab said to the man who had told him this, "What? You saw him? Why didn't you strike him to the ground right there? Then I would have had to give you 10 shekels of silver and a warrior's belt." But the man replied, "Even if 1,000 shekels were weighed out into my hands, I would not lay a hand on the king's son." In our hearing, the king commanded you and Ishbak and Ittai, protect the young man Absalom for my sake. And if I had put my life in jeopardy and nothing is hidden from the king, you would have kept your distance from me. Joab said, okay. I'm not going
to... Hold on a second. Hold
sure.
on. What is
what
this guy on? Saying? Because that
this is
translation's
on.
A little bit tough. So the man says to Joab, if you paid me 1,000 shekels, it wouldn't matter. I'm not about to put my life in jeopardy.
That's right.
I heard what the king told you, Abishai, mm-hmm. and the Hittite, I mean the Gittite.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when the word, nothing's hidden from this king finds out everything. And when the word gets back that
what?
I harmed his son,
mm-hmm.
how about you, the one telling me why didn't I kill him, would be the very one to turn me in and distance yourself from me.
Hey, man, what
you
discernment?
You step back like, what? He did what? Why is this? Why is this man saying this? How about everybody knows Joab's character?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this the same Joab that said, hey, Abner, let me talk to you close, and I'm going to give you a kiss, and when he reached out to kiss Abner, he jammed him with the sword from his other hand?
Yeah.
This guy will murder you with and kiss you on the cheek at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, got to tell you, Abner, you're not telling me what to do. Heck no, because you'd be the first one to say, he did what? And act like you didn't know about it.
Yeah.
After telling me to do it. So, no, I'm not doing that. Okay, keep going.
14. Joab said, I'm not going to wait like this for you. So he took 3 javelins in his hand and plunged them into and plunged them into Absalom's heart while Absalom was still alive in the oak tree. Ooh. And 10 of Joab's armor bearers surrounded Absalom, struck him, and killed him. OMG. Then Joab
Wait right there.
Yeah. Sure.
I wanna point something else out. What Joab is really, when he says, I can't linger with you, he's like, I don't have time for this. In the way we speak today, Joab is like, I don't have time for this. Can you see his hand going up?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to listen to your babbling over why you're too afraid to kill him. I'll take care of it, and I'll do it my doggone self.
Oh, my goodness.
Joab has no hesitation. Mm-hmm. So here, get the visual. Remember we talked about how thick Absalom's hair was?
Yeah.
That it weighed 6 pounds every year when he cut it. It was 6 pounds of hair that was cut off. So this glory that he had, one of the things that made Absalom so fine and so, you know, desirable to look at, is the very thing that he's hanging from right now.
Mm.
His glory is the very thing that he's hanging from. And he's hanging because this mule that he had, remember when he, you know, set himself up and had chariots and run before him and 50 men or run before him to make himself look like all that?
Mm-hmm.
That very mule left him hanging in the tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how God will do what God's going to do. And sometimes God steps in because we can't do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's an enemy in your life, or the adversary is using someone as an enemy. But you're so blinded and refuse to see that you remain vulnerable. What did he say? He said, deal very, very tenderly with my little boy, Absalom, the young man.
Mm.
So God stepped in and said, no, I'm going to avenge David's enemies. Even if he doesn't have sense enough to see, he's an enemy. son or not, daughter or not.
Hallelujah.
So we can't do it. Sometimes it's beyond our messed up hearts. David's dealing with a lot of things. It's his son, and he also has his own guilt to deal with. Maybe had I done my job, he wouldn't be like this. It's not his fault. He's a young man. That's part of the issue. He's young. But God said, actually, I'm taking him out since you can't. I mean, what would he have done if they brought him back, had a party for him? Absalom, maybe we can work this out. Daddy's not happy with what you did. Shouldn't have slept with my concubines, but we can fix this. Wow.
Wow.
So God takes over and God deals with things that sometimes really are beyond our ability to deal with. And God knows that. Once again, I said God knows that. So let's be very careful about judging somebody else and thinking we know what only God knows.
Amen. Amen.
Sometimes we look at somebody that's in a trial or it's a temptation or it's a very, very difficult thing for them. And we say, oh, well, they ought to be over that by now. Oh, my God, Leah, really? Are we still dealing with that? We do not know what that person's able or capable of. Only God does.
Yeah.
I don't think David was capable of killing his son.
No.
God knows that, but he still needs Absalom off the planet if this kingdom is going to be restored. You can't let somebody like Absalom live.
Right.
But if the king can't kill him, what's going to happen? God has to step in, and some things God steps in and does for us because we really can't seem to do it ourselves.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes those are recognized as they're strongholds in our lives. Those are easy. Oh, I can't stop this drug, or I can't stop this whatever habit, or I can't stop overeat, whatever it is. But other times it's issues of the heart that we can't overcome. And God will step in and he will deal. Okay, keep going.
Amen, amen. Then Joab sounded the trumpet, and the troops stopped pursuing Israel, for Joab halted them. They took Absalom, threw him into a big pit in the forest, and piled up a large heap of rocks over him. Meanwhile, all the Israelites fled to their homes. During
By the way, I've got to stop there for a second. The Gittite, it was not Absalom's slave. It's somebody else. We'll get to that. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Correction. Okay. 18. During his lifetime, Absalom had taken a pillar and erected it in the king's valley as a monument to himself. For he thought, I have no son to carry on the memory of my name. He named the pillar after himself, and it is called Absalom's Monument to this day.
Stop. Continue. Right there. Yes. No, stop for one sec. Absalom had three sons and a couple of daughters. One of his daughters' names was Tamar, remember? The same name as his sister?
Right.
Well, you probably don't remember.
I remember Tamar because of the Braxtons. Don't ask me why, but...
Yeah. Tamar is the sister that Absalom avenged by killing Ammon, who had raped her. Well, Absalom had a daughter, and he named her after his sister. So there's another Tamar. And
wow.
He had a couple of daughters, and he had three sons. But here it says that Absalom puts up this, you know, has this pillar erected in his name because he has no sons. So it is accepted that all three of Absalom's sons had died. Because God does not like ugly.
Amen.
Wow. As Absalom is bringing destruction against his own home, against his own father, he is losing his own legacy right from under him.
Yeah.
Oh, well, keep going.
Now, Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, said,
"Let me run and take the news to the king that the Lord has vindicated him by delivering him from the hand of his enemies." "You are not the one to take the news today," Joab told him. "You may take the news another time, but you must not do so today, because the king's son is dead." Then Joab said to the Cushite, "Go tell the king what you have seen." The Cushite bowed down before Joab and ran off.
Okay, stop there. Stop there. The Cushite is the Ethiopian.
Okay.
The Cushite is the Ethiopian slave of Joab. Ahimaaz is the son of the priest of Hushai, remember? And that sent his two sons to give the word to David?
Yeah.
So he wants to give the good word to David now. But Joab is saying, no, you can't do that, because I know this king, and he's not going to consider this good news.
Yeah.
So today is not the day for you to deliver that message. I'm going to have my slave deliver the message, because if David flies off the handle and kills somebody on behalf of his son, it'll be, I'd rather be my slave than the son of the priest.
Mm.
That's what's going on there. Okay.
Ahimaaz, son of Zadok, again said to Joab, "Come what may, please let me run behind the Cushite." But Joab replied, "My son, why do you want to go? You don't have any news that will bring you a reward." He said, "Come." That's true. He said, "Come, what may I want to run?" So Joab said, "Run." The Ahimaaz ran by way of the plain and outran the Cushite.
What was going on there? The Cushite was taking the shortest route, but the shortest route meant that you had to go over hills. Ahimaaz took the longer route, but it was the plains, so he got there first. Go ahead.
While David was sitting between the inner and outer gates, the watchman went up to the roof of the gateway by the wall. As he looked out, he saw a man running along. The watchman called out to the king and reported it. The king said, "If he is alone, he must have good news." "Aw." And the runner came closer and closer. Then the watchman saw another runner, and he called down to the gatekeeper, "Look, another man running alone." The king said, "He must be bringing good news too." The watchman said, "It seems to me that the first one runs like Ahimaaz, son of Zadok." Isn't that something? "He's a good man," the king said. "He comes with good news." Then Ahimaaz called out to the king, "All is well." He bowed down before the king with his face to the ground and said, "Praise be to the Lord your God. He has delivered up those who lifted their hands against my lord, the king." The king asked, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" Ahimaaz answered, "I saw great confusion just as Joab was about to send the king's servant and me, your servant, but I don't know what it was." The king said, "Stand aside and wait here." So he stepped aside and stood there. Then the Cushite arrived and said, "My lord the king, hear the good news. The Lord has vindicated you today by delivering you from the hand of all who rose up against you." The king asked the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" The Cushite replied, "May the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up to harm you be like that young man." The king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. As he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." Continue.
Yes.
Wow.
19. Joab was told, "The king is weeping and mourning for Absalom, And for the whole army, the victory that day was turned into mourning, because on that day the troops heard it said, "The king is grieving for his son." The men stole into the city that day as men steal and who are ashamed when they flee from battle. The king covered his face and cried aloud, "O my son Absalom, O my son Absalom, my son." Then Joab went into the house to the king and said, "Today you have humiliated all your men who have just saved your life and the lives of your sons and daughters and the lives of your wives and concubines. You love those who hate you and hate those who love you. You have made it clear today that the commanders and their men mean nothing to you. I see that you would be pleased if Absalom were alive today and all of us were dead." Wow. "Now, go out and encourage your men. I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a man will be left with you by nightfall." Wow. "This will be worse for you than all the calamities that have come on you from your youth till now." So the king got up and took his seat in the gateway. When the men were told the king is sitting in the gateway, they all came before him. Meanwhile, the Israelites had fled to their homes. Throughout the tribes of Israel, all the people were arguing among themselves, saying,
"So let's stop there for a second. Everyone had went to their tent. Okay. Now, I've had plenty to say about Joab, right?
Yeah.
And everybody knows who this kind of character is.
Mm-hmm.
But he sure gave David good advice that day. He said, "What kind of message are you giving the people?"
Yeah.
"That would have been fine if all of us were dead, as long as Absalom was alive. You better get that together and stop, or there's not going to be one person willing to follow you."
Yeah.
Now, that sounded very, very harsh. I read that several times because it was so, I must have to say, on point.
Mm-hmm.
Here we went out and risked our lives for you, and this is your response. Interesting. So even though, and this might be why Joab had been the captain of the army so long. Even though he makes ruthless decisions, some of those decisions are probably correct. And I'm going to say this, which I'm just going to say. If you remember Abner's character, it was probably best that Abner wasn't brought into the kingdom too.
Yeah, that would have been a mess.
Yeah, it would have been a mess. Mm-hmm. Because Abner was the one who was trying to, you know, talk Ish-bosheth that you ought to be king. You're Saul's people. You ought to be king. And then, and because he thought that he would be able to control the kingdom through Ish-bosheth, and then we saw, well, this really isn't working out. You know what? You accused me of something, and I don't like it, so I'm going to go over and make David king, and I'm going to go all throughout the people and convince them to go with David. I'm out of here, Ish-bosheth. Mm-hmm. I'm out. Peace out. And then he goes on to David and says, "I want to pledge alliance to you." But because he's from the house of Saul and David has respect, he says, "Okay, Abner. Abner's on board now, everybody. He's going to leave in peace."
Mm-hmm.
And Joab says, "Are you crazy? Why are you letting this guy live? And don't forget, this is the same guy that killed my brother, so I already got a bone to pick with him. But he has no place in your kingdom." Again, listen to counsel. You're not always going to be the only one who hears from God.
Yes.
Sometimes good counsel is protecting you. But if you're hard-headed or you think that you're the only person God can talk to or speak through or communicate with, You may be hurting yourself. And as bad as and unpredictable as it seems Joab was, a son of thunder, as Jesus called James and John for having such a temper of violence, a lot of what Joab has done is probably the right answer for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is a captain of the guard. This is somebody who controls the army. Everybody has their place in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of God, we have different people with different callings.
Yes.
A teacher may be able to tell you something. A prophet may be able to reprimand or bring something to your attention that you seem to have forgotten. Even the people had a voice that directed David. So again, I want to say part of leadership is also understanding that you don't have all the answers all the time.
Amen.
Listen to the people around you sometimes. They're here to help. And Joab was not lying. You keep this wailing and crying because the enemy that we went out to get the kingdom back for you, we all just finished leaving the kingdom, you barefoot, crying, people throwing rocks at us, humiliated.
Oh, sorry.
And now we go and we rectify the situation, and you're wailing all over the place. David was sensitive. The word kind of makes that clear. So he's crying, oh, my son, and I get it. I mean, grief is grief.
Yeah.
But Joab said, you need to get it together, and you need to do it quick. Because the message you're giving the people, I don't think is a message you want them to have. Now get in front of that gate and pull yourself together.
Yes.
And David did it. Good. I'm glad he controlled and didn't off with Joab's head. Okay. I know, because he could have. But I think he was pretty afraid of Joab, too. Got that impression. Okay, we have a few more minutes. So David returns to Jerusalem. Go ahead.
Throughout the tribes of Israel, all the people were arguing among themselves, saying, "The king delivered us from the hand of our enemies. He is the one who rescued us from the hand of the Philistines. But now he has fled the country to escape from Absalom. And Absalom, who we anointed to rule over us, has died in battle. So why do you say nothing about bringing the king back?" King David sent this message to Zadok and Abiathar, the priest, "Ask the elders of Judah, why should you be the last to bring the king back to his place, since what is being said throughout Israel has reached the king at his quarters? You are my relatives, my own flesh and blood. So why should you be the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not my own flesh and blood? May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if you are not the commander of my army for life in place of Joab." He won over the hearts of the men of Judah so that they were all of one mind. They sent word to the king, "Return you and all your men." Then the king returned and went as far as Jordan. Now the men of Judah had come to Gilgal to go out and meet the king and bring him across the Jordan. Shimei, son of Gera, the Benjamite from Bahurim, hurried down with the men of Judah to meet King David. With him were 1,000 Benjamites, along with Ziba, the steward of Saul's household, and his 15 sons and 20 servants. They rushed to the Jordan where the king was.
Okay, I want to just make it clear again, because it's all part of really understanding this history and this is that, remember, it's Judah and Benjamin, and the rest are all called Israel.
Okay.
Remember, it's Judah and Benjamin were the ones who stood with David.
Okay.
Benjamin is the tribe that Saul came from, but because he honored Saul, a lot of Benjaminites still stood with David.
Hmm.
You have the guy throwing the rocks and kicking up the dust.
But that wasn't the general feeling of all Benjaminites.
Hmm.
And Judah is the tribe of which David came. Okay.
18. They crossed at the ford to take the king's household over and to do whatever he wished. When Shimei, son of Gera, crossed the Jordan, he fell prostrate before the king. And he said to him, "May my lord not hold me guilty. Do not remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind. For I, your servant, know that I have sinned. But today I have come here as the first from the tribes of Joseph to come down and meet my lord the king."
For those of you, hold on one moment, for those of you not following, this is the guy that we've been talking about that was kicking up dust and throwing rocks at David, Shimei. So here he is saying, "By the way, don't hold against me any of the things I said. Sorry about that." Oh, he's humble now. He thought David was going to be destroyed and wasn't going to be a king anymore, and he felt, you know, like he could disrespect David and throw dirt at him and rocks at him and hurl insults at him. But now he's humbling himself. I'm worshiping you. You're my, you know, don't remember the things that I said. Don't hold them against me. Keep going.
Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah. Said, "Shouldn't Shimei be put to death for this? He cursed the Lord's anointed." David replied, "What does this have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? What right do you have to interfere? Should anyone be put to death in Israel today? Don't I know that today I am king over Israel?" So the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." And the king promised him on oath. Should I end here?
Yes. Okay.
Alrighty.
What a beautiful thing that David still turns around. Remember when this was happening, David acknowledged that God is the one allowing this man to curse me. And yet he doesn't let his ego get in the way. And he says, don't, because the sons of Zeruiah, they wanted to go kill him then.
Yeah.
Who's the sons of Zeruiah? Abishai and Joab. But David said, you know, what is it with you guys? No, I'm not going to, there's not going to be any death today. God just restored me as king. David shows mercy. He recognizes God's hand when God has allowed something. And so I'm going to kill this man over an insult. I'm not going to kill this man over an insult. Again, another example being set. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you for reading. Any questions or comments on this? I don't want to, you know, just rush into ending. Just, is there any questions or comments?
So many.
Yeah, that was a lot of information.
Yes, I agree.
I know,
that
was a lot.
I agree.
Can you give me a summary of the main points of all of this? The main things you want us to take away?
30 minutes to do that. Because it was so many.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the points is be careful how we judge people.
Bingo. Wow, that's awesome.
Be careful.
Yes.
The other thing, be aware that God sends people into your life, and they may not look like you, they may not be of your culture, but they are there to help you.
Yeah.
Let's not limit ourselves to what God can be sending into our lives.
Amen.
The other thing is, another point, if Joab, you already know Joab's a killer. So when you go out and tell David, you know, and when David tells him, you know, be careful, he sends a killer out there after him. So I don't know what you really thought was going to happen. Because if Joab gets an opportunity, Joab's going to do what needs to be done. When God delivers you from a circumstance, learn how to give him praise
Yes.
rather than be grieving when God has delivered you from something you needed deliverance from. Sometimes it's the severance of a relationship in your life.
Amen.
But it needed to happen. You couldn't do it yourself. God did it for you. Give God the glory.
Yes, hallelujah.
Then all of the angels and the people that have been praying for you, that have been dispatched into your life to help you through this trial.
Yes.
And then you grieve when God's actually, it's his hand of deliverance. Terry, this could go on for, like she said, at least another half hour.
Easy.
So what I would suggest is listen to the message again and take notes.
Mm-hmm.
Because okay, you can listen to the message on the website. I'll upload it and or send it to you if you want me to. And just, it probably, because there's so much information, you should probably just take notes each week. It would be, you know, otherwise I go on to the next thing. I can't labor one message. I know that a lot of the churches, they start out with one message. The message today is going to be, you know, count your blessings. And they're going to belabor the one point for an hour. But, you know, the way I teach is different because he's got something every verse that I don't want missed. So maybe just take notes or listen to the message again.
Okay.
Because I don't think any of the points should be missed.
Amen.
Anyone want have a prayer request? That want I have one, and that is that Danny Michael's wife to be, her water broke, and she's in labor right now. So I want us to pray for her safety because this is the closest time a woman comes to death is when she's bringing in life.
Yes.
Amen.
And pray for this child that is pushing through right now as we speak to come into the world. God's covering would be over both of them and that they'd have the wisdom that parents need. Anybody else have any prayer requests?
Well, I would like for us to pray for Second Chance Ministry, and that God fills your spirit right now with joy and grace and remove worry, because as a family in Christ, we hear the heaviness on your heart as you speak and as you worry about your new baby coming into the world. God's got it. It's going to be all right. He has the victory, and we love you, and we're covering you today, Second Chance Ministry, and that new baby that's going to be born healthy, as well as your daughter-in-law. Cast your cares in Jesus Christ's name. That's for you, my sister, Miss Jeanette, today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I've got to learn how to control my voice.
Too late. We got you.
You just, you know, the eggs on the face. It's okay.
We couldn't hide from each other anyway.
No.
Yep. That's why we're together.
Well, I think that covers it, and we close. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. What's left?
Yes.
Be blessed.
Be blessed. Talk to you Wednesday. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bye, Carol.